I'm Blake Hardcastle. This is the Stories You've Missed podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast, Stories You've Missed. These are accounts of God's amazing grace in the lives of ordinary people at Grand Parkway Baptist Church. My guests today are Al Williams and Dennis Scott. So Al grew up in Waco, Texas, and worked for Texas Instruments for over three decades. He's a graduate of Texas A&M and loves all things Aggie. Whoop. Well, I saw you trying to make the whoop face.
Whoop.
You even like the jokes, Aggie jokes.
I do. I consider it a badge of honor.
Al and Nancy have been married for 38 years. They have two adult children and one grandchild. Actually, I think you've been married a little longer, 39 or so.
We've been married 40
years. You're 40
years.
Now?
40 years.
Congratulations.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
We'll bring out the cake later.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Nancy have been at Grand Parkway for 11 years. My other guest is Dennis Scott. He grew up in Wyoming and Colorado, and he worked in oil and gas for 40 years. He's married to Karen, and they have five children and seven grandchildren. And Dennis has been at Grand Parkway for 19 years.
Yep, that's about right.
Yeah. All right, welcome, guys. So today, we are talking about Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Right.
The Romeos. This is a group at Grand Parkway, and I want you to start with just describing what is the Romeos?
Okay. Well, the Romeos all started out from three guys in the community group of Dave Merton's. We had retired very, very close to the same time. And we were sitting there talking about, you know, what we were going to do. And our wives all said, "Hey, guys, you need to get out of our hair. You're driving us nuts." So we decided we'd go to breakfast one time.
Okay. And so your answer to... Don't drive my wife crazy is,
yeah.
Just, I'll go to breakfast once.
Yeah.
That'll make her happy.
That'll make her happy.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Now, what was the question?
So you guys all retired about the same time. And now, instead of being gone at work for normal work hours,
mm-hmm.
you're around the house.
That's right.
And your wives had been CEO, CFO, all the O's of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And now here comes somebody who
is underfoot.
Wants on the board.
Right. And is underfoot.
Okay.
So we go out to breakfast and we spent about 2 hours just sitting there talking and everything. And
you hadn't done this before because you're working.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so we after we did that, well, we says, well, we ought to do this kind of on a regular basis, you know. So we decided every 2 weeks we'd get together.
Okay.
So, and then after about a month or so, we said, well, you know, there's probably others that would like to get
just,
together
instead
too.
Of just those three. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Rick Golson and Tommy Martin and myself, we were the first three, and we were just getting together, and pretty quick Owen Bement comes and Al came later, but we had a conversation that, you know, we're not dead. We ought to do something, you know.
We could do things early
yeah.
to breakfast.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so we were meeting at different times as well. We'd meet on different days. And Rick Olson had a friend that had come over to visit his wife and him. And the friend said, we've got lunch plans. He said, why don't you come with us? And Rick says, well, I got to see if we got a meeting with the Romeos, or with, it wasn't Romeos at the time, it was the other guys.
Let me interrupt you. And the Romeos, this was, there was a kind of acronym for...
Right. Well, this is where the acronym came from.
Oh, it came. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
So she asked if they'd go to lunch, and he says, well, he had to check to see if he had lunch with us first. And she says, what do you mean? And he says, well, there's some retired guys get together, and we lunch or breakfast, and we just talk. And she said, oh, you're a bunch of old Romeos. And he said, what do you mean? She said, retired old men eating out somewhere. And so that's how we got the name. So,
right. Yeah. Right. So this began as, let's not be underfoot. What in those early times, what were you experiencing that made this appealing, that made you want to keep meeting?
I really enjoy doing things. I don't know. I didn't know a lot about anything really other than just what I'd been working, mm-hmm. you know, doing working. And so there were other guys that were in the group that they knew things. They knew how to do things. So I thought it was a good opportunity to learn.
Trades abilities. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
And then now at some point things shifted from, this is just eating out somewhere to doing something mm-hmm. somewhere. Mm-hmm. When did that happen?
Probably about 3 or 4 months after we started meeting.
Okay. So yeah. You'd had enough just eating and talking.
Yes. Yeah.
Which isn't bad in itself, but right. Now you want to do something with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember what the first project was?
I actually, I don't remember how that I got kind of pulled into this, but there was a group in Richmond that was helping people with roofs or outside work, and they had funds that they would provide to get this stuff done for people in the community that had problems with finances.
Yeah.
And so I went out, I got a couple of guys that weren't even in Romeo's to come help because I didn't know how to do what they were doing. They were working on the soffits and okay. fascia boards of the house.
Yeah.
And so I was going to this guy to try to get reimbursed for some of this stuff, and it seemed like it was taking a long time for reimbursement to happen. Yeah. So we kind of separated from that group, but we had people that knew how to do things. Okay. So we decided we'd just continue on doing stuff like yeah. that.
Okay. Now, Al, how long ago did you get involved in the Romeo's?
I would say probably 3-4 years ago, maybe. Something like that. Feels about right.
Now, was yeah. your first introduction to, hey, come swing a hammer, or hey, come move a fork?
I think the first time was just kind of joining the guys with breakfast, just okay. to kind of enjoy the fellowship. But by the time I had joined, we were already into the mode of basically trying to emphasize doing what we're called to do as a church is helping the widows of the church, mm-hmm. People that had needs in the church. And so we kind of had our eye out for that. And so even through our community groups and whatnot. So that was when I joined, we were already kind of in that mode of being the hands and feet of Jesus yeah. as an old bunch with the abilities that we had.
Yeah.
And we certainly understand that we kind of know what we can do and what we can't do as an older yeah. group. So yeah.
Now most you guys mentioned, you know, the fellowship, getting together and talking. Is that a need guys have, and just work gets in the way?
Let me talk about that first before I go any further. I want to Dennis has been speaking here, and I affectionately refer to Dennis as, and this is very affectionately, is King Romeo.
King Romeo, okay.
He is the man, and he's shared. He's a pretty humble guy. He acts like he doesn't know how to do anything, and I look at Dennis as a guy that knows how to fix anything or do anything. So that's my perception of Dennis. Anyway, so getting back to your question of you know, men sometimes do not know how to retire well. They just don't. And what's been a beautiful thing is, like Dennis said, there's a lot of guys that retire, and they've kind of put their whole worth and their whole value of their life is what they've done in their life. And mm-hmm. so what I think is what I find unique about Christian men, what we ought to view things is, what we did is what we in our careers was just what we did. It's not who we were. It's just what we did. Mm-hmm. So I think when getting in the Romeos and getting it, this was a situation where we could actually use our giftedness
yeah.
and I these guys in Romeos have heard me say this about a million times that when you retire, you really don't retire from life. You won't find retirement anywhere yeah. in the Bible. But what we call it redeployment. We're not retired. We've just redeployed.
Yeah.
And your original question was about men in fellowship. And yeah. it's amazing how many men they kind of many times will retire and just seclude.
Mm.
And they don't even, they really need fellowship, but they don't even know how to go about doing it. They just kind of, it kind of gets back to some of the men that feel like they're just sort of like empty or more empty. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, we're not an empty bunch. There's a lot of fun and fellowship amongst the Romeos. Mm-hmm. So And what we try to do is encourage men and say, listen, just give it a try. Just come. You know, the fellowship is great. And we work hard at times, but we know our limitations. It's like I've said, that great theologian Clint Eastwood in, I think, Magnum Force said, man's got to know his limitations. And we operate like that. It's like we know what we can do, what we can't do, but we enjoy. And I'll just throw out another nugget. It's really the stuff we do for people, widows, or whoever else in the neighborhood or in our communities. What we do is really secondary about to what how we do it.
Say a little bit about the difference between a task and the process, you know, how you do the task.
Right. Well, the way I'd say it is that we got to joke around. You know, if you don't come with an attitude of joy in your heart to do it, don't come do it just to do it work, just do a task.
Yeah.
The task is great. But I'll even tell you, some of the people that are recipients of what we've done, I think the fact that we were there was more important than what we did.
Your presence.
Our presence.
Is more significant of a blessing to them than the work that needed to get done, but the work that got done.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Dennis, how blessed are we by having the opportunity to do it? How much fun do we have being in the hands and feet of Jesus?
That's right. That's right. You know, one of the things that kind of tickles me is there may be a job that normally would take maybe an hour and a half to do, and we can spread it out to about three or four because we'll work for 15 minutes and then talk
like
for 30.
Yeah, that's exactly what.
Well, at our age, I've said this many a time, and I'm honest about it. Talking about the limitations, like in the hot summer and stuff, and we're good for about a good 3 hours, but it's 3 to 4 hours. But it's amazing how much, you know. And again, the task is just is sort of incidental to the to the fellowship.
The fellowship doesn't just happen over the meal.
Oh no,
no,
it happens around
whenever we get together.
Electrical cords and ladders,
men. Now, of course, I know, Dennis, I haven't done mission trips kind of abroad and things like that, but you'll hear all the testimonies about, you know, like in Costa Rica or whatever. Really, this is how men get to know each other. Mm-hmm. This is a great way for men to get to. They just kind of let down all their whatever. They just, I don't care if you're the former CEO of a company or if you were in the trades, you just kind of let it all down and you just fellowship and that's how men really connect. And that's why. And maybe we'll get to a question later about that, but there's so many it's just guys are missing it if they don't if they don't join. It's just, if nothing else, for the fellowship. And this is what I'll say also about the Romeos. Not everybody in the group is able to do some of the physical stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I mean, it's no big. You need to know what you can do and what you can't do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But just come for the fellowship and just sharing. And because everybody can impart some wisdom around the table when we talk and when we get breakfast. And we have guys that do that. So everybody can bring something to the table.
Yeah.
Right. But we need each other. I mean, we need the fellowship.
And when we do a project, some of the guys really can't do much, but they'll come anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Are
they in the way?
No. Absolutely not. They may not think that they're doing any contribution, but just having them there to visit or to get a bottle of water, or maybe we'll be on a ladder or something. Sometimes, not very many times we get on a ladder, but they'll bring us tools or things like that. And that's perfect. I mean, the contribution is like Al said, it's kind of secondary to the project.
Do you think there's any sense of, like, you know, when you were working, you know, for a check, it was get as much work done as reasonably possible so the check is as good as possible? And when you're not working for a check, maybe it's not just the amount of work that gets done, but the quality. It's not just, you know, paint and caulking. It's the relationships that happen all around that.
Mm-hmm. Let me address a little bit of that, and Dennis can certainly add in on that, but this kind of is an overall, not just the Romeos, but anybody that volunteers, that does something, you know, for not for pay and all that. But I tell people, you do this as unto the Lord. When you do it, even as a volunteer, you do the best work. Mm-hmm. You bring excellence to the table. The fact that you're volunteering should have zero to do with the quality and the excellence that you bring. And you ought to bring, I say this all the time, bring the right attitude to it. This is a blessing that we're able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so bring your best.
Yeah.
Now, our best is not as long in duration as it may have once been.
Yeah.
But we believe in that, in doing the best we can for the time we do it.
And there's a partnership that we've kind of established here there with Fort Bend Rams. And they've got a little plaque that they put on every one of their rams that I think is really
now, Fort Bend Rams, describe for people who are listening and don't know, the ramps, this is an
access
incline.
Yes.
And it's built out of wood.
Yes.
And it's for?
For accessibility to their homes.
They're okay. Disabled.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
And they build to Richmond city code. It is done by specific standards.
Yeah.
And it is quite an operation. They have it down pat.
Not just a bunch of rednecks going, well, they had 2x6s on sale. We're just going to use that this time.
Right. The material is typically donated.
Donated. Yeah.
Yes.
And so the ramps, this is a project you guys will have every now and then where you're kind of in a one day, you're arriving and you're building a ramped access to someone, usually someone's home.
Mm-hmm. And they try to determine the length of time by the length of a ramp, and they can build about 7 foot a ramp an hour.
Okay.
So that's, and they've had some pretty good size ones. Yeah. I think 45 foot.
Yeah. 45 foot ramp. Ooh.
Dennis introduced it, but I think he didn't quite finish with the little insignia they put on when they finished the ramp. And I'll be honest with you, we had the opportunity to help out, and these guys were so sweet. These guys, they know what they're doing, and we were helping them out. But at the end of it, my grandson Brady was working with it, and he slugged it out. That one went beyond our normal 3-hour operation.
So other people that aren't retired, how old is Brady?
Brady's 14 now.
14-year-old boy. Right. He can come along.
Yes. And that day, he said, yeah, Pop, I'll go with you. And he went. So when we were done, we got with all the stuff and all the work that had been done, one of the gentlemen handed me the little plaque, said, I want you and your grandson to put this on this ramp.
Mm.
And you talk about an honor.
Mm.
And I felt like the amount of work that we did compared to what all they did, we were unworthy to do that. But I received that. That was just a blessing. So me and Brady, we got a couple of pictures of us.
Yeah.
And we put this little insignia, and it says, built to the glory of God. That's sort of their, I think the words are right. Isn't that right, Dennis?
Yeah.
Built to the glory, to the glory of God. And we got to put that on there.
Yeah.
And it was just a beautiful deal. I know for Brady, it was very impactful for to be involved in that as a youngster.
Yeah. Absolutely. What are some other projects that come to mind of, things you've done? It's small, large.
I'll let Dennis cover some, and then I'll pick up the slack at the end.
Yeah. We've done fences. We put in fences, repaired
like
fences,
digging holes and putting in posts, and
yes, and we have, like I said before, we did soffits and fascia boards, and we've trimmed trees and. I have built cabinets that have been requested by somebody purchased them and couldn't put them together, so put the cabinets together. And
you're not doing it for people who are like, I'm just a cheapskate. I could pay a contractor, but I don't want to do that. These are people who are in need.
These are people, predominantly women.
Yeah.
And other people in the church, even men that have limitations, and the people that we've known about through community groups and whatnot, that we've been able to meet the need.
Yeah,
I got a few things I can add here. I'm kind of one of those guys that sometimes makes a few notes, and this is not in any way to brag about what we've done. It's just to kind of give you a list and a flavor of what we've done.
Yes.
So we've done tree trimming for individuals. We've done a lot of tree trimming at the church. We do a lot. We've done a lot of power washing.
Yeah, you didn't say that. You guys do a lot of punch list things here at Target. There's a lot of things that you guys do at our church that I think in some ways this extends the tithes and offerings people give.
Exactly.
We're not paying other companies to do this. And it's I see some of it because I'm here a lot, but I think a lot of times people have no idea that Romeo's did that, the Romeo's did that, the Romeo's did that.
Yeah, I called Dennis King Romeo, but Dave Bachman is in the Romeos, and that guy is up at this church
all the time,
and I know Dennis is up here quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm going to call him Master Chief.
Yes,
since that's what he was in the Navy.
Yes.
And those are the ones that really get it done, right?
Yes,
the
Chiefs. That's
exactly.
Right.
But again, power washing, tree trimming, fence building. We've done yard work for a number of people. We've maintained yards for people that couldn't do it, like ladies in the church, for periods of time. Like I said, we mentioned a lot of the stuff at the church. We've moved members of the church. We've helped move them. And some people that weren't even members that knew about us, that were friends of a member. Mm-hmm. And we've helped them move. We've done some painting, sinks, toilets. I'm looking at Dennis now because he's a master of that. We've worked on that. Transporting. And some of the organizations we've worked with was Nary's Promise, and we've continued to work with them. We've worked with the Pregnancy Resource Center, helped build, working on a deck there to help stain it and whatnot. One of my most favorite trips is, and it's near and dear to my heart because we've with the Lifehouse, it's a big organization. It's an adoption, you know, placement thing, and we adopted our son through
Life. You and Nancy, yes,
we adopt. So Dennis and I had the opportunity when we were sort of partnering with Lifehouse to make a trip out to Lifehouse where we got our son.
Wow.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what the job, we were moving some chairs or whatever, but we, but Dennis and I had a blast going all the way over to the Lifehouse, working with them. So it kind of rekindled memories for me. It was beautiful. It was just beautiful. So we partnered with them, and then he's already mentioned the Fort Bend Ramps. I know I missed a bunch, but we've had opportunities to do varied things with varied organizations, and it's just been a true blessing for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Are there any things that Project This Group does not do? Like, we don't do that.
Well, things that you know, like asbestos removal, we won't do that.
We don't do that anymore. We don't put on bunny suits and respirators.
I have a, and I think this is good for all of us, I have sort of a three-rung rule for the ladder.
Okay.
If it's more than three rungs, call a professional.
Okay.
So, and I kind of could squeeze a bit. So, yes, we know our limitations in terms of our stamina. But here's the great news, and Dennis can comment on this too as well. You know, now that we've got a broad group, we'll, you know, for breakfast, we may have anywhere from 8 to 18 guys there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those are work, but we got a lot of people that are good at certain things, so we can go to something. We've been to, like, in our church, we've been to homes where we've done that. We'll have one guy working on some electrical. Yeah. We'll have one guy working on the tree trimming. We'll have, it's funny. It's God just kind of puts all those gifts together, and we can meet a need, even though none of us know all of it. But we've got enough people.
You can cover most of it,
and it's a beautiful thing. And we kind of migrate to our giftedness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
beautiful.
And it gives us an opportunity also to go follow those guys that know what they're doing and see what it is that they're doing so that we can help.
Dennis said he started not knowing anything, and here I am. I'm saying I think he knows everything, so he's learned it somewhere.
How does someone get involved in the Romeos?
I typically keep track of the people that have expressed an interest, and I'll ask them for their email address, and then they just get on the list, and they get an email every 2 weeks when we get ready to have breakfast, whether they come or not. Yeah. I've got, I don't know, probably 40 or 50 on the email list, and there's some of them I haven't seen for a number of years, but we still try to, you still invite them.
And there was an individual that was on the list probably for as long as I've been on the list, for 3 or 4 years, and then he started coming.
Yeah.
Fairly consistently.
Yeah.
Just so, like I said, Dennis doesn't give up. None of us give up. It's out there, you know, but we've got, I'm thinking around 45 people on that list, that email list, probably 45. And certainly there's room to probably add another 45 this church. And I think some people are reluctant. They're not sure what they're getting into. They say, hey, man, I don't know if I want to go do all that work. I tell you, man, it's like I tell people in community groups, try it once.
Mm-hmm.
At least try it once and then see if, I think you'll, I encourage people that, you know, just don't let this opportunity go by. Mm-hmm. At least give it a shot. If it's not for you, fine.
Yeah.
But it's just a, you know, so Dennis is always open to add another person to that group list.
Mm-hmm.
And so as men retire, as soon as they, all right, listen, go ahead and try it. Mm-hmm. Try watching TV and sitting around. Mm-hmm. Once you get tired of that, we're ready for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, a more recent thing that seems to happen with guys in their 20s is they're often able to have a pretty flexible schedule, work from home.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say one of these guys said, you know what, I wouldn't mind taking a 4-hour lunch break and I'll make it up on Friday night or something crazy. And I wouldn't mind swinging a hammer, but I'm only 27.
Mm-hmm.
You say, hey, come back in 3 or 4 decades, buddy.
No. Yeah, actually, I haven't sent anything out to the other two groups that are kind of associated with this.
Yeah.
But there are two other groups. They're called Meos. Those are just men eating out.
Men eating.
Yes. Yes. And then there's the older guys that aren't retired yet. So it's they're called Oyos. So
Oyos?
Yeah. Yeah.
Older guys?
Yeah.
Okay. There. Omeos.
So
okay.
Yeah, now there's some of you guys that are on that, Neil and Wade and stuff. So
yeah.
But there's also people like Gary Cooper, he's on that, and you know, people that I know how to do some stuff. Yeah. Sometimes I'll reach out to them if we've got a pretty big project, and and he's pretty flexible. He's helped us on a couple of different occasions.
I know on the ramp project, there was a number of the Romeos were there, but there were also guys younger in our church that saw this as an opportunity, and I'm not sure how it got communicated to them.
They found out somehow.
But it was great having them. Mm-hmm. It was they were in there. Mm-hmm. They actually took off work because it was like on a Thursday, and it was a 1 day project. And I said, "Well, what are y'all doing here?" He said, "Well, we just took off. We thought this was something we wanted to be involved in, and it was awesome." Mm-hmm. So there was two or three or four guys that worked full time. That took a day off for that.
Yeah.
Like you said, you can do that in the world we live in now.
Right, that's right.
And
that's
so, and it was beautiful, and it was so helpful to have those guys.
that's the local mission, and Brent was involved in that. He sent the email out to the church, so it gave the church an opportunity to get involved.
You know, something about people listening right now. This is your three groups: men. This is for men. But women who are listening, maybe their husband's retired. Mm-hmm. They should encourage them. Hey, I would think you should try this. Give it a try one time. But even women who their husband's not retired, like I think you should take a mental health day and go swing a hammer with these guys.
Yeah,
go climb on rung 4 or 5. I think that would be rejuvenating. Mm-hmm. I think that would be life giving to you. Mm-hmm. You guys aren't against that. You welcome that.
No,
not at all.
Not at all.
I'm sitting here. I wish I could be retired and work with these guys. But you're telling me, Blake, you don't have to wait for that.
No, nope.
I'm going to share a quick story if I can, and I don't think this gentleman would mind me sharing this. I'm going to just kind of give a brief testimony on his behalf. On this recent project we had, we went out to Hockley, and it was a hot day. We worked, you know, but one of the guys in the church, Ed Richards, a dear man, who just. He asked Dennis, he said, you know, there's some things I just certainly can't do anymore. I mean, Ed wouldn't mind me saying this. I'm sure he's in his early 80s.
I can confirm that, yes.
He would not mind me sharing that.
He's been married 62 years this
year. So
he's
got to be, you know. And he went out there, and it was just a breath of fresh air. He helped work. He did work.
Yeah.
But he just shared. He said, you know, I needed this. Because he's worked the mission field. He's done all that stuff in his lifetime and stuff. But he just felt like he kind of, his abilities to help were so limited, but he just enjoyed the fellowship, and he was able to work, and he just went on. It was a beautiful picture to see how he just was. Well, he was thankful that he was invited and was able to help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you're in your early 60s or in your 80s, it's never too late. We never retire from this. We never earn the right to just give up and just have me time completely.
Yeah.
And so there was an example of an 80 plus just slugging it out and just enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to Ed's credit, he did sit down and rest when he felt like he needed it and he didn't feel like he was shirking his duties, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's always the way that we do that. I mean, we let them be comfortable in doing what they can.
Right. What are some things that come to mind when you think about how have you experienced grace from God personally through this ministry?
One of the things that I can definitely say is one of the people that we helped said, I used to do this all the time. I used to always help. I helped everybody. And they said, it's very humbling to be on the other end.
Getting the help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that kind of, that really makes a big deal for us. I mean, it's a very, very poignant thing to hear. The way I look at things is I can't do anything good. It's God who does it through me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that is the biggest blessing that I can get, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems elemental to this, but in order for you guys to work and this is one of our core values of our church. Mm-hmm. You know, our values are that the gospel, it changes us and into a community that's on a shared mission to be a blessing to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of the ways we're a blessing to the world. But in order to do this, someone has to humble themselves and receive it. That someone, and so for your energy and effort and for you to with stamp on something to the glory of God, someone has to say, all right, God, get glory by me getting served. Mm-hmm. And that's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I actually had the conversation with one of the gentlemen who used to serve and was able to serve and now not really able. And so we talked about, and I said flat out, I said, there's a season where you're the mm-hmm. giver mm-hmm. and there's a season where you're the receiver. And sometimes receiving and many times does require humility. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we all go through it.
Yeah.
Probably Dennis and I are going to, we're probably not that far from being getting on the receiving side of some things, but it's hard for people because it does take humility. Pride can stand in the way of that. Mm-hmm. So it's just for every giver, there's a receiver. Just like every ball game, there's a winner and there's a loser, and it's just the way it is. But it's beautiful when you see it work in a Christian environment where people realize that we're a community. We're the body of Christ. So we just help and you give and you receive and you do both and you do it with humility.
Well, I think the Romeos, it was no one's master plan other than God's plan.
You're right.
But I think it's one of the most consistent ways that God, we as a church carry out this value God's given mm-hmm. us to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most regular, consistent ways that occurs. And I'm just so grateful for that, mm-hmm. that occurs with such consistency.
Well, and let me add one more thing. I say, God impressed on me a long time ago that, I think a lot of people just kind of, when they finish like careers, they mm-hmm. do this, it's kind of like I've done it now. I've used the term, it's me time now. There's nothing. In our Christian walk that says that as long as we've got breath, we've got purpose. Mm-hmm. So as long as we we need to. And this thing is, with me is finish well. I'm kind of. Yeah. I'm always God's kind of just finish well, and that doesn't. That's all the way to the end. As we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The what's ironic in all this is as I hear you guys describing this that. The me time mentality, mm-hmm. actually, I'm going to experience the me time as I'm being poured out for others. Mm-hmm. The thing I'm really mm-hmm. chasing mm-hmm. that I'm not getting mm-hmm. Because I'm chasing it just to serve my flesh or mm-hmm. serve me, that actually God provides the thing I'm looking for, the sense of fulfillment and connection. I get that by, not having quote unquote me time, mm-hmm. but others' time. I think it's one of the mm-hmm. one of the many ways how God's ordered his kingdom is his economy. When I give up, that's when I get. Mm-hmm. When I, mm-hmm. The more blessed to give than receive, now it's blessed to receive also, but that there's not a zero sum where I give away, therefore I have less. So God somehow, he pours more in.
Let me be crystal clear in case the listeners here might think that we do this like 60 hours a week. Okay. We don't do this 60 hours a week. We don't do it 40 hours a week. So we do, I think that kind of what you just said, I think that we are to enjoy our lives. We have other things that we enjoy. Yeah. You might call that me time, but we should enjoy life, but we mix all this. This is all a part of it. Yeah. Service is a part of it. It's not, we don't just wake up every day we got to serve God today and we got to do it 8 hours. We see and we seek opportunities. Yeah. We listen. We're trying to listen for opportunities around us. But we certainly enjoy other aspects of life that mm-hmm. God has given us, in our older years as well. Yeah. So it's, I don't want people to think that we just all slug hammers all day long, but we do enjoy all of it. But it just kind of completes the picture.
Yes.
of a life. I think that it's an example to others.
Right. Yes. Anything else come to mind when you think about experience the grace of God through this ministry?
Well, I will say when you think about the grace of God, the grace that saved us, but also the grace that what is grace? Unmerited favor. I think when I experience the grace in this, I see, grace is it manifests itself in just having the peace in this and having enjoying one another. I think that enjoying one another is an act of grace. Mm-hmm. How we just we just enjoy the fellowship and things. So I think his grace is all over what we do, mm-hmm. and I just I just think it's fantastic. He gives us, he blesses us. Like you said, it's one of our core values.
Yeah.
It's a way that we're blessed and we can be a blessing to others. So I think his grace has got his fingerprints all over what we do and me personally.
Yeah. I won't remember the name of this. There's a statue in Europe that, statue of Christ, and it was damaged during, you know, the many bombings that occurred over there. And so one of the statue in particular, you know, the hands are blown off. And then someone, you know, when the war was over, you know, redid the plaque and it said, "He has no hands but ours." I think what he's pointing to is that one of God's predominant way of loving people is through people. You know, what we say it around here at this church is God's will runs on the rails of relationships. Mm-hmm. That, in fact, his primary answer to how can a widow be cared for is through people, not just, you know, through some magic Amazon delivery truck.
That's right.
That happened. How would you explain the Romeos to a young kid, to a 10-year-old? You're not quite ready for this yet. You know, they haven't got their first W-2, but how would you explain this to them? How would you explain, you know, to a grandchild, where's Grandpa going? Where's Pop-Pop going?
Well, let me start, and then I'll let Dennis, let him think about this for a minute so he can answer. But since I've already introduced the one project that, you know, I would like to take Brady, my grandson, who's 14, not 10, but we were able to talk a lot about why we do these kind of things. And he even said something to me. He said, you know, I know, you know, being a member of the church, you know, these are things you're just supposed to do. I've seen you do it and I've seen others do it. This is just what you do. But we talked about the fact that this is what Christian living looks like. Mm. And so I just say, this is, you know, it's giving is as important as a lot, you know, many things. So, I mean, this is what we do. So, and I explained to him how we receive the blessing. And I know watching him, I think he felt a joy in doing, even though it was hard work for 14, you know, most wouldn't just volunteer for that.
Yeah.
I did sort of urge him strongly. And, and so, but it's just saying, this is what you do. You do it your whole life. This is how you live a Christian life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, to try to explain this to the younger people is, I think that actions are speak louder than words. I have a hard time articulating what it is that I would do, but I'd try to just explain to them that, well, service is what we're called to do. Mm-hmm. So, what we do as Romeos is we try to be involved in what God's working in.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of about all I can come up with.
Well, let me say, I'm grateful for the Romeos. In fact, we're in my office right now, and I look around these bookshelves, the Romeos put those together before I got here. Bookshelves got delivered, and I showed up, and they're all put together. The Romeos are the ones who did that. I'm grateful, Dennis, for your leadership over this group, and you will in your humility say, I don't do a whole lot, but there's, I think, some logistics and having a spokesperson, and then you got to have a master chief like Dave to all right, get to stop drinking water. We're done, guys. You know, we've talked for 15 minutes. Let's start swinging a hammer again. But I'm really grateful. Those of you listening, I just encourage you to be open to all the ways God might be moving you to get involved in this group, or to find what for you particular God has for you to serve people. It may not be with a ladder or a hammer, but it's the unique thing that you've experienced he has to offer. I want to thank you for listening. If you have heard a few of our episodes and have not yet given us a review, would you do us a favor and submit a 5-star rating right now? There's likely a place to do that on the app you're listening to this episode through. And if you have suggestions for other people that have a story all of us need to hear, you can contact me, Blake@grandparkway.org. These are the stories you've missed.